Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
If you guys don't mind, I'm going to take this deal.
Take your tie off too if you want.
I keep your tie off.
Well, it's nice to be here with you guys on another Sabbath to worship. We come to worship the Lord in, I'd say, in spirit and in truth. And don't mind how many are here, because he says to us, where two or three are gathered, he is in the midst with us. So we are grateful for his holy presence to be with us here today. I am not going to speak for a long time today. I am going to share what the Lord has impressed upon my heart so that we look at each other and we see that each of us, we have an appointment with the Lord and we can make a contribution to his program of teaching the gospel, sharing the gospel to who we come in contact with. So, our scripture reading was read, and thank you for reading, my dear sister. And I would just like to turn our hymnal to the hymn number, which says, take the name of, is 474 if you want to follow with me. I'm not going to sing, I'm just going to use it as a part of my message. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. And the second stanza, I say, at the name of Jesus, bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings in heaven will crown him when our journey is complete. So each of us, it doesn't matter who we are on a journey. For some it will be a long one, for some it will be a short one. But the instructions through this hymn writer, take the name of Jesus with you. Wherever you go, let his name be resounding in our hearts and in our actions, because we can only accomplish anything through him, only through him. So take the name of Jesus with us, wherever we may go. And another hymn writer says in 590, that when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still. So, and he says, and with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey. And the fifth stanza says, then in fellowship sweet he will sit at his feet, or will walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. So two things, take the name of Jesus with you wherever you go. And this hymn writer says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. So this morning I am here to remind us that Jesus wants to lead us into the path of righteousness. And each of us must hold fast upon what he teaches. Let's pray. Oh, gracious Lord, as we come to you this morning, we come because we want to hear from you. And we ask, oh Lord, that your divine spirit will abide with us here today as we worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord, for hearing, and thank you for answering. Today I want us to be fully reminded that we serve a mighty God. One who knows us individually and one who has a purpose for each one of us in the plan of redemption. If we are willing to be used by him, he will lead us into all paths of righteousness. As I said, as the songwriter says, when we walk with the Lord, what a glory he sheds on our way. God's glory removes all barriers. God's glory removes all selfishness. God's glory removes all fears of the future. And God's glory unites us as one family with a single purpose. And that is Micah. If you turn with me to Micah. Micah gives us that result. Micah chapter 6. And I read from verse 6 through down. He says, with what shall I come before the Lord? And bow myself before the high God?
6:6.
Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sins of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? This is what he requires of each of us. But to do justly, 1, to love mercy, 2, and to walk humbly with your God. Victor, you spoke quite a bit this morning on humility. That's one of the qualities that Jesus wants us to carry with us in our daily walk. You see, the Micah reminds us that God is not interested in the majority of the things we do sometimes. He says here, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? Yes, he is interested in burnt offerings, but that's not really what he wants if the heart is not sincere. That's what he's saying. Shall I come and please with 1,000 rams? No. What he wants from us is to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. That's what God is interested in. Not that the other things are not important, but if the heart is not right, they are not important. Right. The heart has to be right for these other things to be right, right?
Right.
And so when we live a life of humility, when we live a life of mercy, when we live a life of doing things that are just in the sight of God and in the sight of man, that's what Christ wants. And then all the other things are secondary in our journey with him. So when we walk with the Lord, what a glory he sheds on our way. God's glory, as I said, removes barriers. God's glory removes all selfishness. God's glory removes the fears of the future. So, we have a story in the Bible that is found in First Samuel chapter 16. And that was read for our scripture reading. And I just want to go back there. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul?" And the backdrop to Saul's misfortune is that God told Samuel to go and anoint Saul to be king. And in addition to those instructions, he told him that he should go and take care of business by eliminating all the people in the Amorites, to get rid of them, everything, all the way down to a little baby, because they were not right in his sight, right? What did Saul do? Saul went, took care of business, he saved the king, he took all the good spoils and destroyed the rest. That wasn't God's instruction to him. So he disobeyed God in his first mission. And God rejected him as king. And instead, he gave instruction to Samuel to do this, which we will read again here. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice the Lord to the Lord.' Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me one I name to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peacefully?" And he said, "Peacefully. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." And here it is, the key text of this reading. "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" He looks at the heart, things that you and I are not able to see, but God is able to see. And so that story brings out the life of one man, and hence I titled the message, "One Person Can Make the Difference." David stood out and he made a difference in the army of Israel. David followed God's instructions closely. God had a mission for David, and he selected him from he was just a youth. He was not a matured person yet in terms of age, but in his thinking and in his obeying, in his obedience, he was matured, much more than Saul, right? A mission that not even the king of Israel and an entire army could carry out, but it took just a youth to accomplish it. Why? Why was this possible? When you walk with the Lord,
right.
This is why it was possible. When you walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. David walked in the instructions of the Lord. He worshiped God on a daily basis and accepted God as his Lord and Savior. And he allowed him to rule and direct his life. When David heard Goliath defied the army of Israel, the army of the living God, one whose words are sharper than any two-edged sword, that sent a message to David. And this David in his response, he can be found in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 26. I'll go there. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 26. And he says, then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? My friends, David knew the power of God. Goliath coming with his big sword and his size and so forth. But this is what David says, that the Lord's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. He believed that. And he believed that despite the power that Goliath comes to him with, he, little David, is able to overcome him. So he was embarrassed for the army of Israel. Who is this Philistine coming to display his power before the army of God?
Yeah.
That's the question he asked. Yeah. Right? What happened to the Israelites? What happened to God's army? And then in verse 37 it says, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and take the Lord with you. Saul is king, mighty in power, but was afraid of the Philistine because of one man. David was very embarrassed for the army of Israel. And David flashed back in his life as a youth and said, the Lord was able to help me to kill bear and kill lions to save his sheep. So he will do the same with the Philistine. So I'll continue down into verse 42 through 47. It says, this is what took place. And when the Philistine looked out, when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. That's all Goliath saw in David. He a little boy. He was too pretty to behold, right?
Cute.
Yeah. Why an army send this little boy in front of me? Yeah. So here's his little one. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog? Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, You come to me with a sword, with a bear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts,
Amen.
The God of the armies.
Amen.
And my friends, that God is available to you and I today.
Mm-hmm.
We come to you, to all our obstacles, all our Goliaths that come in our pathway. If we come to him through prayers, we will be able to be overcomers. The reading continues. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into our hands. So whose battle it is?
Is the Lord.
Well, is the battles in our daily lives, are those belonging to the Lord too?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When we face our Goliaths, who we should put the battle to? Because each of us, no matter who we are, we have Goliaths in our pathway, right? If we, some of us might have Goliaths, we might have lack of money, loss of jobs, broken marriages, you name it. I could go on and on, but every day we have Goliaths in our lives. And we are not able to solve those problems of ourselves. But as David said, that the battle belongs to the Lord. These are our Goliaths. They belong to the Lord too, and only him is able to give us the power to overcome. So, each of us have our unique purposes in the plan of redemption. What the president of the General Conference could not accomplish, it can be accomplished through a simple Christ-like faith. Exercise, knowing like David that the battle belongs to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? It is not my battle. I might face the Goliaths,
mm-hmm.
but the battle belongs to the Lord. And that brings me to, I think, our past two quarterly lessons with Peter. When our last week lesson, when Peter was in prison. And he had soldiers on every hand. And walls, he was placed in the inner walls, right? And when I think Angel Gabriel came, which I think our Michael Jesus came and said, man, put on your shoes, put on your sandals. Bam, he cut the chain. He said, follow me, right? When Peter realized he was out. Now you tell me, my brothers and my sisters, if that's not the power of God. If it was available to Peter, it's available to me too.
Right.
When the Goliath faced me in my life. So we need to go to him in sincere prayer, exercising faith to be overcomers. If he can do it for Peter, he can do it for me. Right? That's the question. If he could do it for a youth, David, he can do it for me, because David said, you come to me with sword and shield, I come to you in the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's power. And so, my friends, going to prolong my message to us this morning, but there are always Goliaths in our pathway. And Jesus, through the Spirit working in us, we are able to be overcomers. So may God help us as we continue our Christian walk and our Christian journey with Him, knowing that He is God and He is able to take us through if we trust in Him. Thank you very much for listening this morning, and may God continue to bless us as we continue on our Christian journey with Him.
Amen.
That's my timely message to us today. Let's bow our heads. Oh God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we have spent in your courts today. And we pray, oh Lord, that you will help us to trust in your words. They are written in what we call the Holy Bible. We pray, oh Lord, that you'll guide, direct, and uplift our thoughts. And grant us the peace that surpasses all human understanding as we go our way today, we pray. In your holy and precious name we ask. Amen.
Amen. Amen.